I may not have a license to kill, but liberalism dies a little every time I pull the trigger on it. This is a conservative's perspective.
This is great. These are our friends. We have thousands of friends in this incredible movement. This was a movement like nobody's ever seen before. And frankly, this was, I believe, the greatest political movement of all time. There's never been anything like this in this country and maybe beyond. And now it's going to reach a new level of importance because we're going to help our country heal. We're going to help our country heal. We have a country that needs help, and it needs help very badly. We're going to fix our borders. We're going to fix everything about our country. And we made history for a reason tonight, and the reason is going to be just that. We overcame obstacles that nobody thought possible, and it is now clear that we've achieved the most incredible political thing. Look what happened. Is this crazy?
Good morning. Thank you. Please. Thank you. Good to see this cabinet and staff together. Thank you. Thank you. Please. Thank you. It's good to see you all. Particularly good to see my granddaughter sitting in the front row here. Hi, Finn. How are you, honey? For over 200 years, America has carried on the greatest experiment in self-government in the history of the world. And that's not hyperbole. That's a fact. We're the people. The people vote and choose their own leaders, and they do it peacefully. And we're in a democracy. The will of the people always prevails. Yesterday, I spoke with President-elect Trump to congratulate him on his victory, and I assured him that I'd direct my entire administration to work with his team to ensure a peaceful and orderly transition. That's what the American people deserve. Yesterday, I also spoke with Vice President Harris. She's been a partner and a public servant. She ran an inspiring campaign, and everyone got to see something that I learned early on to respect so much, her character. She has a backbone like a ramrod. She has great character, true character. She gave her whole heart and effort, and she and her entire team should be proud of the campaign they ran. You know, the struggle for the soul of America, since our very founding, has always been an ongoing debate and still vital today. I know for some people, it's a time for victory, to state the obvious. For others, it's a time of loss. Campaigns are contests of competing visions. The country chooses one or the other.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you all. Thank you. So let me say, and I love you back. So let me say, my heart is full today. Full of gratitude for the trust you have placed in me, full of love for our country, and full of resolve. The outcome of this election is not what we wanted, not what we fought for, not what we voted for. But hear me when I say, the light of America's promise will always burn bright. As long as we never give up, and as long as we keep fighting. To my beloved Doug and our family, I love you so very much. To President Biden and Dr. Biden, thank you for your faith and support. To Governor Walz and the Walz family, I know your service to our nation will continue. And to my extraordinary team, to the volunteers who gave so much of themselves, to the poll workers and the local election officials, I thank you. I thank you all. Look, I am so proud of the race we ran and the way we ran it.
Hey, everybody. James Bostic here, Conservative's Perspective on the Mojo 5.0 Radio Network. Mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, you should be, because it is the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio. Mojo50.com. Well, I guess it was probably about this time last week. I was asking if you guys were tired of this shit. And I think it's exactly how I said it. And pretty sure you are. Pretty sure you were. I know you feel a little bit more invigorated after Tuesday's results. I want to ask this, and it's... how sure were you? Whether you voted early or not, whether you voted on election day, you went into the polling place, and you cast your vote, how sure were you that all things being equal, that what could have happened? That we won. Donald Trump won. I was unsure. I really was. Honestly, I was unsure, and I was kind of nervous about the whole thing because, like I said, look at the cheat they pulled off. And we're going to take a look at that, too. Here in just a little bit. Look at the cheat that they pulled off in 2020. And there's an interesting clip. It should have gone viral. I don't know if it has or not. I've seen it a couple of places, so it's getting some notoriety. This is a clip between... hold on a minute. Let me check this out. A couple CNN guys. Jake Tapper, John King, and I've got the clip, and here's what's going on. Jake Tapper is asking John King, their election guru, the guy who does all their stuff, to identify the places on the electoral map where Kamala Harris was doing better than Joe Biden, and the result catches him by surprise. Now, let me set this clip up for you.
So you asked, are there any places that the vice president is overperforming Joe Biden in 2020? So we could show you that as well. We just bring that out here. Harris overperforming in 2020.
Holy smokes.
There you go. So let this go away and see if there's anything on the east side there.
Literally nothing?
Literally nothing.
Literally not one county?
And, you know, the electoral map, obviously it's an audio clip so you can't see, but the electoral map that they're looking at is completely blank. There's not one county in the entire country where Kamala Harris outperformed Joe Biden. Now, there is a big underpinning reality behind this, and here it is. Kamala Harris didn't necessarily underperform Joe Biden. What this data actually shows, really, is the missing fraudulent ballots from the 2020 election. And now that we know
the basic 2024 raw vote total, we're able to put a scale on the number of fraudulent mail-in ballots from the 2020 election. And based on the 2024 vote ballot data, there are you sitting down? Get ready. 18 million ballots missing when compared to 2020. In 2024, in other words, there are 18 million fewer votes. That's the approximate scale of ballot fraud from the 2020 election. The professional DC apparatus, the administrative state, the institutions that comprise the DNC and the corporate media who are aligned with them will never admit this, but this is what the results reflect. 18 million fewer voters. This election is opposed to the last. 2020 was a stolen election. The data confirms it. Harris did not underperform, per se. She just didn't have the benefit of the same level, the same scale of ballot fraud. Think about that. 18 million fewer votes. Now, I've seen the numbers come up a little bit less than that. I think like 11 or 12 million is another one I saw today. Think on that. 18 million fewer votes. That's not only proof of a stolen election and the discrepancy in the vote totals between 2020 and 2024. That was an incredibly effective machine. And the Republican lawyers, and they learned their lesson from this. To their credit, they learned their lesson from this in that they understood this was going to be one of the mission-critical ways to attack this voter fraud problem, was to oversee and monitor and, in many cases, reinforce or implement new voter laws and to look at the practices that were involved in this kind of voter fraud and rigging the election in this way and do what was necessary from a legal standpoint to negate the effect. And it looks like they did pretty good. 18 million votes fewer. That's huge. And if you want to get a good idea on how this worked, take a look. And it's out there. You can find it. And you can watch it for nothing by now, I would say. Dinesh D'Souza's movie, 20,000 Mules. It shows basically how it worked, primarily in Atlanta with the pickups, the ballot boxes where they were harvesting. But it happened this way all over the country. This is how they rigged it. And now that we knew, when we figured out how they rigged it, then Republican lawyers were able to get in there and find out what needed to be done to keep this from happening again. And the result was 18 million fewer votes. But see, here's the problem. There are a lot of folks out there, you could present them with this, and there was a lot of evidence Peter Navarro came up with early on that suggested this is exactly what happened. But what was going on is judges that were in the Democrats' pocket weren't going to hear this. And to a lot of people, if the judge doesn't hear it, then that means it has no merit. It doesn't mean that the judge is dishonest or unduly influenced, which are also, you know, and in this case, that's what it was. So, well, the judge said it didn't count. It wasn't any good. So it never happened. Okay, great. 18 million fewer voters. Booyah. 18 million fewer voters. And I don't know if you saw it, but Wednesday after the election last week, Joe Biden came out and made his comments concerning Donald Trump's victory. And then later in that afternoon, after she had a really good long pout and cry, Kamala Harris came out, conceded, and said what she said. If you get a chance, and if you haven't seen it, I'd really recommend that you do. And you could probably hear it in the clip. Joe was in a pretty good mood, didn't seem too let down, didn't seem too disappointed, didn't seem too worried about much of anything. And I think the reason for this is because everything worked out just exactly the way Joe kind of hoped it would. And it, you know, and the way he tried to engineer it to go, which I think is exactly what happened. And you know what? It's really validating sometimes. I have these thoughts or I have these ideas. And I won't say anything about them, even on the program, because I'm not sure, you know, just how crazy or Fruit Loopy they are. But it's becoming more and more since I've looked at this stuff, as long as I have. I guess I'm getting finely tuned, or more finely tuned. Everybody got busy in this election, in particular, and invariably they always do, especially when the Democrats lose. They like to blame the electorate. They don't like to put it as their ideas or their policies. They like to blame the voter, and that's exactly what happened in the Trump-Harris election. The heads say that Hispanics are too racist to vote for a black person. Joe Scarborough said this. Al Sharpton says black men are too misogynistic to vote for a woman at all. David Axelrod says that Americans in general are just too racist and misogynistic to allow black women to be president. And there's a lot of this sort of thing going around. They want to blame certain blocks of voters. But the reason that Kamala Harris lost the presidential election in 2024 is because Kamala Harris is one of the most unlikable and inauthentic presidential candidates in recent history, possibly ever. More than Hillary Clinton? Yeah, probably. So, if the Democrats are really looking for people to blame, and I guarantee you, they are looking for people to blame, you shouldn't have to think too hard about it. I think the guy that played the biggest role in this was Joe Biden. Now, it's called a screw job. In the world of professional wrestling, in the world of heels and faces, it's called a screw job, and it refers to an incident where a wrestler is disadvantaged or screwed without his prior knowledge. And as most of you who have watched professional wrestling, it's a choreographed spectacle. It's all plotted out, and it's meant to gain two things: approval and entertainment to the largest possible audience. Everybody knows this. A wrestler's livelihood and future depends upon a meticulously crafted and executed narrative. It's no different. It's no different in politics. And this would be a good example of whoever is credited with the saying that politics, especially on a national level, is show business for ugly people. Politicians will adopt and shape an identity, and they will craft and execute narratives that are meant to appeal to large swaths of voters. And sometimes the interests don't always align among the parties involved in crafting the narrative and putting on the show. But here's what happened. It all started to go downhill for Kamala Harris on July 21st, 2024. And it was on July 21st, 2024, when Joe Biden double-crossed the Democrat establishment leaders, primarily Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer. And in the process, Democrat voters got screwed too. So, Obama and his people were like Democrat voters, and they were really, really interested in seeing Joe Biden step down from the 2024 presidential campaign after the debate. And all it took was him trying to answer the first question in the debate for everybody, the entire world, to see that for the last 3.5 years, Democrats and the news people had been lying to us about Joe Biden. I had always said, and I never understood at the time, you know, there was a lot of talk about him stepping down. Who's going to replace him? Well, the obvious choice would be Kamala Harris, but she was never mentioned amongst the party elite. Because if there was a candidate that would be worse than Joe Biden, it was going to be Kamala Harris. They didn't want her. But here's what he did on that Sunday afternoon. He not only declared he'd be dropping out of the race, but at the same time, with the same breath, endorsed Kamala Harris for president. And there was about a week's worth of silence from Obama and his people. The momentum that this created, and what I mean is the prospect of a minority female president, which is the holy grail of all Democrat intersectionalism. That momentum built up, and it was too much even for the elite and the experienced, skilled Democrat politicians to pull back on it. So it was almost a week after Joe makes this announcement that Schumer, Pelosi, and then finally Barack Obama acquiesce, and then they publicly endorse her candidacy. She is not who they wanted. My guess would be probably Gavin Newsom. That's who she wanted. None of us, said Nancy Pelosi, had any idea that he would do it on that Sunday. Then the thought was, and she's talking to the New York Times about this, then the thought was everybody wanted an open process. Let's see the talent. Let's see the bench of Democrats and let them come on. Let's see what we can attract. But then Joe Biden endorses her, and it was like, are you with me or not? And so they moved quickly to gather ranks. Now, you just heard what Nancy Pelosi said, okay? They had no idea he was going to do it that Sunday. The thought was everyone wanted to see an open process on this. So, he knew what he was doing. He couldn't get away. Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer says, hey, look, you've been a great asset to the party, and We respect and honor everything you've done up to this point, but the writing is on the wall, Joe, and you're going to have to get out of here. And Joe says, well, you know, I don't see it that way. Well, Joe, we're serious about it, and we don't want to use the 25th Amendment on you, but you're going. And if we have to, that's how you're going to go. But they didn't have any choice. Now, here's the problem with what happened. They already knew. Democrat voters, this is another reason why they didn't want her. Democrat voters had already figured her out. They figured out she was a phony when she was campaigning for the presidency in 2019. And Joe Biden didn't endorse her for the nomination because he likes her. And we know he doesn't like her. We know he doesn't have any use for her. Because what did he do as soon as he got elected? He named her the border czar. And he dumped her with all that weight of their massively unpopular decision to implement an open border. As soon as that happened, almost immediately, her approval rating collapsed. And she remained among the most unpopular vice presidents in history up to the point that Joe Biden endorsed her for president. So the Biden family doesn't like her at all. And probably the most unpopular Democrat in a stable of presidential candidates. And we're meant to believe that she was endorsed without consulting other Democrat leaders beforehand because the Biden family wanted her to successfully transition to the president. No, no. He knew what he was doing when he did that because he knew they didn't want Kamala either, that they wanted fresh blood. They wanted a fresh face. They wanted a new, you know, somebody not affiliated, not connected with the Biden administration. And all through the campaign, he would continue, Joe Biden, that is, would continue to torpedo her, counter-programming news conferences during her crucial campaign spots where she needed to be speaking and she needed to have that media spotlight. He undermined her by refuting and kind of like marginalizing her criticism of Ron DeSantis in the wake of Hurricane Milton. He put on a MAGA hat in swing states, and then he called Trump supporters garbage. Now, how much of that behavior amounts to senility or the garden variety Biden gaffes, and how much of it suggests campaign sabotage is a topic for another time. But I see it leaning heavily towards campaign sabotage. But that's just me. As it stands now, the Obamas aren't taking her calls. Nancy Pelosi's not interested in talking to her, neither is Chuck Schumer. Success has many fathers. And failure is an orphan. I don't think anybody's going to remember her much. She's going to wind up like Dan Quayle, like Mike Pence, like I'm trying to think. There's so many also-rans out there. I can't. They're so forgettable. I can't even remember them to talk about how forgettable they are. Al Gore be another good one. They're gone, and they're going to be forgotten. It's over. She's going to make money. They're not going to go broke. She's going to make money. There will be people who will support her so they can say they're friends with her or whatever. And while we're talking about this, Rob Reiner said that if Donald Trump won, he was going to set himself on fire. Barbara Streisand said if Donald Trump won, she was going to start drinking bleach. And then there were all the other ones who have consistently said that they're going to leave the country. They never do this shit. Guys, listen. If you know a superstar, listeners, one of these fools that did this with Kamala, and they've made these ridiculous statements, explain it to them. Look, Hollywood stupid stars, when you tell people that if something happens, you're going to leave the country. Like Donald Trump wins, I'm going to leave the country. They did this the last time too. Nobody left then either. I'm going to leave the country. I'm going to set myself on fire. I'm going to drink bleach. I'm going to do this, that, or the other. All right, when you say these things, people believe you. And they get excited. And they look forward to it happening. And then when it doesn't happen, all it does is just gin up more resentment in your direction because you never follow through. You tell us stuff and then you break your promises, man. You break your promises. Oh, and by the way, has anybody got a line on when the when those concentration camps are going to open up? The re-education facilities? Does anybody have an idea on when they're going to get that going? I was just curious. So, if you say you're going to drink bleach, if a presidential candidate you hate and despise wins the election, you got to drink the bleach, man. If you say you're going to set yourself on fire, you really need to grab a couple of cans of lighter fluid, charcoal lighter fluid, and get after it. And if you say you're going to leave the country, don't hang around. Don't hang around. Leave. Leave. It's a big world. You'll find places to make money. You'll find other people who will adore you and worship you and take you seriously when you say stuff, because you've worn out that welcome here in the United States. They spent a fortune on these celebrities. They spent a fortune. Do you understand a fortune? They took Biden's money. They went through in about 3 months $1.3 billion. Kamala Harris, $1.3 billion. $1.3 billion. And they wound up $20 million in the hole. Now, how the hell does that happen? And that's going to be something they're looking at, because there's been some whistleblowers talking about this. They blew through $1.3 billion and they still lost. They didn't even come in close. They didn't place. They didn't show. And they still came out $20 million in the hole. 18 million votes fewer than last election and $20 million in the hole. Are we going to hear much about it? Yeah, probably not. Probably not. Probably not going to hear much about it at all. But then again, there's a new sheriff in town, so we really don't know. Has America finally learned to no longer take the Hollywood elite and the celebrities seriously? I mean, think about it. They're actors. The best words that ever come out of their mouth are written by someone else. But the problem is, everybody who's good at something, be it LeBron James, be it Beyonce, be it Rob Reiner, be it Michael Moore, be it, I'm trying to think of somebody else, some of those other, any of those left-wing rhubarbs that you saw shilling for Kamala Harris. When they're good at one thing, they think that carries over into everything else. And they live in such a sycophantic environment that, you know, people don't, nobody tells them, you can do no wrong, man. You can do no wrong. And they believe it. So they think because they're good at acting, like George Clooney, you know, then he starts to think, oh, man, and they are really ticked off at George Clooney. I guess they still are. He was the first one they went after on Wednesday after Election Day, because he was the guy that held a fundraiser at his home for Joe Biden. And Joe Biden's wandering around there trying to figure out what the hell was going on. And Clooney thought, oh, Jesus. And so he did an op-ed piece for the New York damn Times. Said Joe's got to go. Well, everybody jumped on that bandwagon because, again, after the debate, there was no chance they were going to be able to keep his cognitive decline secret any longer. And they were barely keeping it secret as it was, because there were so many people that were in the know about what was going on with Joe. But the media could no longer be complicit in hiding that, because in a nationally televised debate, well, probably seen all over the world, Joe Biden himself confessed to what just about everybody knew, but nobody wanted to say. So they're mad at Georgie Boy. They're mad at him pretty hard right now. But it won't last. They'll get over it. They love these guys. They have a really weird attraction to celebrities. The left does. And they've always wanted to use celebrities. They've always wanted to try and exploit the star power or the attention-grabbing power that's possessed of these Hollywood elites and exploit it to the voters, to, you know, see if they can convince the voters to vote Democrat. It didn't work this time. I don't know that it's going to work much anymore either. And it's as it should be. Really, I mean, that is. It's as it should be. So what happens now? Well, there have been a few things that have happened, and he hasn't even put his hand on the Bible yet. Let's see here. Wasn't dead air. I was just indexing some things. Here's what's already happened. The first female chief of staff has been appointed. New York City is to stop giving debit cards to illegals. U.S. companies intend on bringing production back home. Stock markets are hitting all-time highs. Bitcoin hitting an all-time high. In Mexico, the newest migrant caravan appears to be slowing. I'm not going to say it's breaking up, but it appears to be slowing because I think they're seeing the writing on the wall. Hamas now wants an immediate end of the war. The Taliban claims they want a new chapter. China says it wants peaceful coexistence. Russia is now ready to speak with the U.S. The European Union wants to buy United States liquid natural gas and not Russian liquid natural gas now. And the Ukraine leaders want to be in talks with Trump and Elon Musk. Why do you think this is happening? People at the Justice Department are handing in resignations. They're getting out of Dodge. All those people in the swamp that tried to destroy this guy, tried to destroy us. They're heading for the hills. Not all of them. There'll still be enough to fight. This doesn't stop just simply because Donald Trump won. Now it starts. Now is when it starts. This is when we have to push back. This is when we have to give this guy all of our support. 110%. It's what we got to do. Something has happened here, and even some of the Democrats are talking about it. Bill Maher said it and a couple of others. What's happened now, and it's been going on for a long time, the Democrat Party quit being the party of the people, the party of the common fellow, the working man, a long time ago, back during the time of Jimmy Carter. It's all elites, it's all bookworms, it's all college types that think they know better for everyone on the planet, and Democrat leaders employ these people, and thereby think they know what we need, think they know what's best for us. And Donald Trump has changed this, his blue-collar appeal, and there's no shortage of it, okay? Union members, they voted for Donald Trump. Union leaders voted for Kamala Harris. So he's more of a rank-and-file type guy. That's who he appeals to. I know he's got a bazillion dollars, and I can't explain it either, but it's genuine. It's not Mark Cuban. It's not George Soros. Of course, George Soros is devoted. But even the Soros people say, you know, this is what happened in the United States is because of this realignment that Donald Trump has put forth in the Republican Party. It's changed. And it's going to continue to change. What's going to happen right now in pushing back on these guys and rooting this left-wing progressive Marxist cancer out of our government is going to take decades. Because they spent decades embedding themselves in there. It's going to take at least that long to root these bastards out. And we will, and we can. And that is his mandate. That is, and it really, it's a mandate for all of us. We have to straighten out our government. We got to clean it up, and we got to get rid of it. We got to drain the swamp. We have to just keep cutting Hydra's heads off. It's the only thing we can do. And we have to. If we're going to survive, we have to. Like I said, we're not out of the woods. Like again, this is just now starting. Oh, and by the way, have you noticed? I was kind of surprised about this. Have you noticed how quiet it's been? In terms of BLM, in terms of Antifa, in terms of all those guys showing their asses, we haven't. Now, we still might. I expected we would see it immediately when the election was going to be called for Donald Trump. I thought it would happen immediately, but it hasn't. Why is that? Why hasn't it happened yet? Could it be? The reason it hasn't happened yet is because the people who coordinate those efforts, because none of them are spontaneous. They're all planned out. They're all gone over. They're all approved in terms of plans of action. And at the right time, then they're set in motion. Maybe that time hasn't come yet. Maybe they're going to wait till inauguration. Maybe they're going to wait till around the holidays when they can really screw things up. But at this point, there was one march in New York, which is hardly surprising. But so far, I haven't seen or heard of any other widespread unrest. Again, this is the kind of stuff that would send those people off because, you know, they hate Donald Trump. They hate me and you and I, excuse me. My mother was an English teacher and she would never have, anyway. They hate us. They hate Donald Trump. They hate us. Why hasn't it happened? Because the people who call the shots on this kind of stuff, and it's going to be people, the Dirty Tricks Division of the DNC, it's going to be the intelligence communities, the feds, in other words, just like they did January 6th, they would invoke this stuff and they would pull the trigger on it and make sure it happened, but it's not happening. These people don't know really exactly what to do at this point. So they've held off on doing anything at all, which is good. It's good for the country. It's good for us. Nobody suffers property violence. Nobody suffers physical violence. Nobody gets hurt. Nothing gets broken. And that's fine. That's what we want. And again, like I said, it's good news, but at the same time, we want to be mindful. We want to be mindful. We don't know what kind of tricks these guys are going to play. And believe me, look at what they've done in the last 8 years. Look at what Antifa did. Look what Black Lives Matter did. Go back in time. Go back. Occupy Wall Street. They're all the same stormtrooper kind of organizations, paramilitary organizations, the militant arm of the Democrat Party. But I got to admit, I guess probably about 3 o'clock, 3:30 or 4, early Wednesday morning, I woke up. I had left Newsmax. I was doing Newsmax, and I would flip back over between that and One America. But it was on Newsmax 2, and I remember waking up, and by then, we knew. And I've got to be honest with you. I know it's going to sound corny. I know it's going to sound kind of hokey. I closed my eyes and I immediately went to sleep. And I'm not what you would call a very successful sleeper. I've always been a very light sleeper, and when I was younger, it didn't really matter because there's an ambulance? Oh, okay. And then I'm right back to sleep. Or, oh, it was a truck with the exhaust too loud. Oh, okay, right. And boom, I'm right back to sleep. Well, now it's not that way. I'm old, and it takes me a little while to get back to sleep. But knowing that news, hearing that news, seeing that, and knowing that yet another, and hopefully the last, of a long train of national nightmares was over. But we got to keep the guy alive. We got to keep the guy alive. I don't know how that happens. I really don't. Because these guys, and there's some things happening that are really kind of cool. All those cats in the Department of Justice, boom, they're rolling out. They are so rolling out. All these people that persecuted, but committed lawfare on this guy, all the people that participated in that, they're leaving. They're looking for other jobs. They're getting out of DC. And that's positive. Now, here's the thing. There are going to be some that remain. There are going to be some that remain as a rear guard action. Christopher Wray. Okay. That's a good example of a rear guard action. When they fired Jim Comey and they set Christopher Wray in there. Oh my God. Oh, my God.
Peter Strzok and that, that chick, that toothy, his girlfriend, okay? You know, all those people remained. And they were, well, Strzok and the chick, they got run off, but Christopher Wray's still there. And he worked with Joe Biden's approval and sanction and satisfaction. If he were for real, he would have been gone. So there's going to be a lot of these people in a lot of different agencies, probably at the State Department, probably a few at Justice, probably a bunch in the intelligence community. Maybe some in, not FEMA. Environmental Protection Agency, you know, to try and keep these Fruit Loop left-wing kook dreams alive in terms of environmentalist Nazism. So really, I mean, things have started and they're cool. And again, like I said, and I know you guys probably did the same thing. Once you satisfied yourself, you knew that there wasn't going to be any tricks. There wasn't going to be anybody thrown out of the Fulton County vote counting center there like there were 4 years ago. You slept, and you probably slept the sleep of the just. And rightly so, because there were a lot more people involved this time. A lot more people on alternative media, a lot more people calling, using phone banks, a lot more people knocking on doors, a lot more people making outreach, a lot more people paying attention to avenues of potential voter fraud. And they were vigilant, and they combated them. That's a huge deal. A huge deal. But again, like I said, this is just the start. There are still people looking on ways to incapacitate, if not kill him, and they would love nothing better than to see him dead. Okay? That would be like winning the Super Bowl to them. That would be like a sweep in the World Series. They would love it. It would be the greatest thing on earth. And I don't know how they could kid you otherwise. I really don't. We've seen how they've acted. We've seen the things that they say. So yeah, they would be overjoyed, orgasmic, just jizzing on each other and screaming and hollering if he were killed. We can't let that happen. So a lot of these things that are going to happen are going to be dependent on the people that Trump puts in these key positions. They're going to have to be able to manage these organizations. Tom Holman, by the way, the new border czar. Yeah. And I tell you what, he is, I met him, actually a couple of times, and, I've spoken with him, not at length, but enough to get a feel for the guy. And, he's about business. Tom Holman stands on business. So, you know, I think that's a very positive move. And some of the people that he's put into place is going to help. And there was another thing. He refused federal funding and is not going to be taking or availing himself of any assistance from the presidential transition team. You know, there's when you win the presidential election, you come into some money. And that money is set up so that you can manage to make your appointments, and you have this staff, the presidential transitional team or whatever they call themselves, and they're supposed to help you vet for the important positions and the political positions. He's not using those guys. And it's obvious why he's not using those guys, because those guys are going to send in new moles. They're going to send in new agents, provocateur. Yeah. But they're not going to get that chance. But there's a lot of those guys that are there already. And what's going to happen, and this is how I see it, these people that committed these crimes against Donald Trump, these people that engaged in lawfare and broke the law, need to be found out. They need to be investigated, and if need be, they need to be charged. and they need to be tried. And if they are convicted, they need to be punished to the full extent of the law. That's just how that's supposed to work. But what the left is going to do is they're going to say, oh, look what he's doing to us. Look what he's doing to us. He's going to put us in jail because we spoke truth to power. No, dude, you didn't speak truth to power. You tried to frame the guy and get him locked up for life, destroy his family, destroy his wealth, destroy his businesses, destroy him. Okay, that's not speaking truth to power. You attack this guy. And you guys have been attacking him ever since he came down that golden escalator and said, you know what? I'm running for president. And you guys started to poop your pants. Then your arrogance and your egos took over and you said, we can beat him. We have the resources to where we can destroy Donald Trump. He is not going to be an existential threat to any of us. He will not harm us, my brethren. And what happened? He won. He won. So then came the impeachments. Then came the Russia, Russia, Russia. Then came all the mudslinging, the Steele dossier, all the bullshit that you guys flung at this man and his family. You couldn't get it right the first time when you impeached him, so you tried it again and you screwed the moose on that one too. Well, we're stuck with him. But we'll make sure he doesn't get reelected. And you did. You made damn sure. By 18 million votes. 18 million mythical, magical, now you see him, now you don't votes. Will anything happen because of it? No. Will any of you bastards go to jail? No. You're not going to go to jail. The best, the very best that we can hope for is a conviction in the court of public opinion. Because none of you cats are going to see the inside of a jail cell, you sons of bitches. And it bothers me, man. I got to admit, it bothers me. And I'm sure that Donald Trump, being the guy that he is and having the brain load that he's got, which is considerable, he's saying to himself, you know, okay, we're going to get who we can. We're going to get who we can. And I believe that they will. But again, like I said, they'll be protected. You know, Kamala Harris, is she going to go broke after this? She's going to be a nobody. She's going to be an also-ran. And she'll be consigned to the dustbin of also-rans. But at the same time, they'll possibly throw her some bones. Like I said, nobody's taking her calls right now. The Obamas aren't talking to her and the Bidens aren't feeling it. And I'm sure the Clintons and Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and all those guys, they're probably too busy right now to talk with her. But she'll maintain some relevance. She'll be a chair for women's studies in nepotism and honeypotology or some kind of crap. You know, they'll make room for her. She'll show up on the talk shows. But it's gonna be a while before any of that happens. And you know why, don't you? Because baby girl did not deliver. But I think they had to know she wasn't going to deliver. Again, I think they didn't have any choice. When Joe said, I'm getting out of the race and I'm endorsing my vice president, Kamala, she's going to be perfect. We're lockstep. You know, our policies, you know, we thought about it. We all came to the same conclusions. She is as responsible for this administration and the policy decisions that we made as I am. And don't you think for a New York minute that he didn't know what he was doing when he said that. He tied her to him with chain, battleship, chain, 50-foot length. Yeah, I mean, chain. What is that? I can't remember now. Chain, battleship, chain. 50-ton links and a 10-ton anchor, something like that. Anyway, and it worked. And not only that, he found places when in these moments of lucidity, He found places to attack, and we talked about that a little bit earlier in the show. You know, preempting her on specific campaign stops where she needed the media spotlight, and he just kind of sucked the oxygen out of the room and just kind of made her look stupid. And then he went and he insulted all this because it wasn't going to come back on him. It wasn't going to come back on Joe. Joe could just play crazy old man and slide out from under it. But it came back on Kamala, and people went crazy. It had the intended effect. It pissed off a lot of Trump supporters. And I think also it had the added effect because these people were going to vote Trump regardless. They knew they were going to vote Trump 8 years ago. But it made a huge impact on the independents, on the middle of the road guys, on the undecided. And maybe they were Democrat undecided. Maybe they were Republican. Maybe they libertarian. Who knows? But all those things added up. And you know the old saying, 100 pennies makes a dollar. And it caught up with her. And speaking of dollars, like I said, they spent $1.3 billion. Just threw it up in the air and walked away from it. Just tossed it out. Just took it in baskets and shook it out of tall windows in Washington, D.C., New York, and all these other cities. And still came out of the deal $20 million in the hole. Do you think those celebrities did that for free? Do you think those guys showed up and did their dog and pony tricks for free? No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, didn't happen. Didn't happen that way. Oh, yeah, hold on. Here it is. Here's the... I was just kind of like scanning through things while I was running my mouth for a minute. A collective... This is Department of Justice, okay? This comes from Politico. And so when the FBI and the Department of Justice lawfare operatives want to frame their agenda and begin the operation of undermining whoever that particular target may be, historically, Justice and the Bureau of Investigation leak to the New York Times and Politico. Both of these outlets serve as the promoters of false or misleading information that benefits the bad actors inside the DOJ and the FBI. So as a consequence, when the DOJ or the FBI start freaking out, they run to the same New York Times and Politico. And Politico is reporting about how the lawfare operatives inside Maine Justice are panicking about what the incoming president, Trump, is going to be doing. A collective sense of dread has taken hold at the... I'm going to love reading this. A collective sense of dread has taken hold at the Department of Justice, which drew Donald Trump's rage like no other part of the federal government during his campaign. Some career attorneys at the DOJ are already considering heading for the exits rather than sticking around to find out whether threats from Trump and his allies are real or if it's just campaign bluster. Some of those threats range from mass firings of deep state lawyers to expelling special counsel Jack Smith from the country. Oh, by the way, he gave up the ghost. He's the minute that Trump won the election was the minute that he withdrew all his charges, and that's over with. Any of the crap Jack Smith was doing, forget about it. It's done. Everyone I've talked to, mostly lawyers, are losing their minds, said one justice attorney, who, like most of the people interviewed for this article, and again, I'm reading from Politico here, was granted anonymity to speak freely about colleagues and avoid retribution from the president-elect and his allies. The fear is that career leadership and career employees everywhere are either going to leave or they're going to be driven out. While alarm over Trump's return is widespread throughout the federal bureaucracy, it is perhaps most severe at the Justice Department, which was at the center of many of the major controversies in his first term. Most of the department's 115,000 employees were around for those controversies, and critics believe that the Trump White House meddled in some of the department's high-profile prosecutions. Both of Trump's attorneys general, Jeff Sessions and William Barr, eventually lost the president's confidence, and his term ended with a stunning showdown between Trump and nearly all of his DOJ appointees as they resisted his attempts to cling to power. Now, again, this is Politico, and Politico is talking about January 6th, and they've never gotten over that, and they're still trying to paint him in a poor light over that. And that's who, again, this is Politico, and that's why they worded it that way. But department veterans say those events pale in comparison to what they expect when Trump gets a second chance to try to remake the Department of Justice in his own vision, which is the chief executive's prerogative, by the way. Nobody mentions that. They also know Trump's anger at the department has only deepened in the past 4 years as it launched two unprecedented criminal prosecutions against him. Okay. Now, listen to this, is great. Many federal employees are terrified we'll be replaced with partisan loyalists, not just because our jobs are on line, but because we know that our democracy and country depend on a government supported by merit-based apolitical service. So, the partisan loyalists that are in power today, screwing everybody over, are upset that partisan loyalists are going to take their place, whose loyalty is to the American people and not to themselves or the Beltway. It adds up to a feeling of trepidation for many of the department's rank and file. "We've all seen this movie before, and it's going to be worse," said one former justice official who served under Trump and several of his predecessors. "It will be worse. It's just a question of how much worse it's going to be." Now, the main justice. Oh, we're over an hour. Okay, we're going extra innings today, folks. Main justice works closely with the FBI on what is loosely termed federal law and order. There are several positions within the DOJ that are familiar as a result of the modern weaponization that took place. As an institution, Maine Justice is now almost exclusively a lawfare targeting mechanism. The Department of Justice unilaterally focuses all criminal investigative resources against the political enemies of the administrative state. Now, this is not to say Republicans are targets, because often Republicans can be beneficiaries of this targeting operation. Think about the example of the Department of Justice working with the IRS to target the Tea Party groups of 2010 and 2011. The Republicans were a lot more opposed to the Tea Party groups than the Democrats were. This was a much greater existential threat for the RINOs and the Country Club Republicans than the Democrats of the equal rank on the other side would be. So when the Department of Justice targeted these various patriot movements, then the RINOs and the professional Republicans benefited. Maine Justice targets individuals and organizations and systems that government officials and politicians determine are a threat to the existing power structure. The intelligence community use their ability to conduct electronic surveillance to discover evidence against their targets. The IC then feeds the evidence to Maine Justice, giving them the targeting coordinates. The Department of Justice takes actions based on information from the intelligence community, often using the FBI as the enforcement mechanism. So, it's going to take a lot, and these people are deeply embedded. Now, to me, personally, this panic, this stampede through fear of justice is good. Get them out of Washington. Get them as far away from Washington as you can. There'll be means and methods of keeping tabs on where they are and what they're doing. But this is going to take some time. This is going to take a whole lot of time. The FBI, does it need to be dismantled? Yeah, I think so. And there needs to be a huge overhauling, if not total dismantling, of the Department of Justice as well. Will it happen? And how long is it going to take? It may take, you know, again, like I said, rooting out all these people, draining this thing and cleaning it up and dredging out all the ick and the goo is going to take decades. It's doable, and we have the processes in place to do it because of the way that Donald Trump has realigned the Republican Party. And plus, we're seeing finally, I think more than anything, a cultural shift, a return to normality. Common sense. Everybody thinks it's extreme conservatism. Really, is it? Or is it just the common sense that you know, has been pretty good at running this country from the beginning of the 20th century on? And even yeah, we made mistakes, and yeah, we've done dumb things, and there have been dips and valleys, peaks and valleys in our political climate. But we're on the cusp now of restoring a lot of the good things that were necessary, critical ingredients to making this nation what it is. And we're also on the cusp of purging these things that weaken the country, that are detrimental for the country, that are not good for the citizens of this country. But we just can't go back to bed now. Donald Trump is president of the United States, as well he should be. He won the Electoral College. He won the popular vote by 4 million votes. Look at the maps. Look at how much red. Look at how much blue. Figure it out. These are positive steps. But we can't stop. Okay? We can't stop. We're going to have, you know, the majority in the House and the Senate, and we can't mess around. We've got to go with the interim appointments, get them approved, get them moved in, and get them in place. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and stop here. Conservative Perspective heard on the Mojo 5.0 radio network, mojo50.com. If you're not listening, you ought to be, because it is the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio. Mojo50.com. We do a Thursday night show, trying to get that back on a more regular basis, and various appearances on various other shows with podcasting pals that are gracious enough to invite me. I want to thank you guys once again for allowing me this opportunity to hang out with you. We're on the platforms. Tell your friends, if you would, please. And you can go to rss.com and type in A Conservative Perspective, and you can find it there. But tell your friends. We're picking up listeners all the time. This is a new experience for me, and I'm still kind of navigating the whole RSS universe, but I really like it. It's cool, and I want to thank you guys for taking the time to look me up. And again, if you would, spread the word. Thank you so much. That's all the time we got. We're going to go ahead and say so long for now, and we will be back next week taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you then.
I said see, rider, oh, see what you have done. I said see, rider, oh, see what you have done. Oh, girl, you made me love you. Now your loving man has gone. Yeah, what I say? Well, I'm going away, baby, and I won't be back till fall. And I'm going away, baby, and I won't. back to fall.